God, Kevin Barker, your team's awful.
Not my team.
Someone's got it.
I think you should take him.
No. You take him. I don't want him.
No, you take him. You take him.
Huh. 2-0 the Blue Jays losing to the Texas Rangers. Yeah. I mean, this is pretty much the same post-game show as the one we did last night, to be honest, folks. Where to begin, Kevin?
Oh, the Jays are one for 10 runners in scoring position. How about
one for 20, 1 for 22 with runners in scoring position through the first two games of this series. Nathan Eovaldi left tonight's game. One of the, I mean, God Almighty, you can't even take advantage of this break. Nathan Eovaldi left the game tonight after two innings with right triceps fatigue. Yeah, I mean, it didn't make a difference to the Blue Jays. It didn't matter who was pitching tonight for them. But, Kevin, 0 for 10 with runners in scoring position. Same issue this team has had all year. This team does get runners on base. This team even makes contact every now and then. We've talked about the batting average as a team. But there's no slug. And I got to ask you, this is not a second guess, because I texted you as soon as Michael Stefanik stepped up to the plate in the fifth inning.
Yeah.
Now, I'm no khaki.
Okay.
But I have no idea when you're begging for offense.
Yeah.
And it may not have been, maybe John Schneider just knows it isn't going to work. I don't know. But I have no idea why you wouldn't move Ernie Clement to second and let Bo and Vladdy have a shot at driving him in. I just don't get it. It's Michael Stefanik. I just don't get it. It's not the only reason they lost, obviously. Again, they were 0 for 10 with runners in scoring position.
Yeah.
They did nothing on the bases.
Okay.
They didn't start a runner. Buck mentioned during the game, neither of these teams are good offensively. They're both brutal offensive teams.
Yeah.
And it's like they just stood around waiting for a miracle. I've never seen two more inert offenses in the same game.
Yeah. Okay, I don't know when you wanted John Schneider to start runners. I mean, the first inning he couldn't do it. Vladdy's coming up, Farsa's coming up, Kirk's coming up. In the second inning, Barger's coming up, Clement's coming up, Stefanik's coming up with two on. I mean, where's he starting? When's he starting them? Fifth
you
inning,
had a chance.
It's two on, two out, Varsha's coming up. When's he starting?
You could have even been more aggressive in the fifth inning, Kevin.
Seventh inning, two on, Vladdy's coming up, Farsha's coming up. I mean, again, it ain't John's fault that he has to hit Farsha in the three hole and Kirk in the four hole. Like, it ain't his fault. Like, I'm the first guy to jump anybody you want me to jump. I'll be getting in line with you to do that. But I don't know what you want. I mean, when your best players ain't being your best players, I mean, Vladdy's late most of the time. He swung at a 3-1 cutter when he shouldn't have. He was late on a 93-mile-an-hour sinker. He's been late for 200 at-bats. Tony Tater had three of the worst four at-bats that I've seen in a very long time. I mean, this little lazy pop-out on the first pitch breaking ball that wasn't even close, what's that about? Like, again, I mean, how are you coming on here saying things about what the manager ain't doing instead of saying it like it is? What is that saying? Your record is what is it? How do you say it? You are what your record says you are?
You are what your record says you are.
This is exactly what it looks like when your best players aren't being their best players. You're a mediocre baseball team, and right now that's what the Blue Jays are. I mean, again, I don't know how you ever – would blame any of this on any coach or any manager. This is all about the player. Every single time they came up was the dude that was hitting in the middle of the order with the at-bats that mattered the most. And them dudes were having bad at-bats. I don't know what you want John to do. Dudes and runners in scoring position, you got two and three and four hole hitters up. And Tony up, who's having atrocious at bats.
All right,
I just that part of it, I just don't understand. Again,
move people around on the bases, put pressure. That's called outs.
I mean, that's what that's called. Like,
all right, well, I mean, it worked tonight. The other way worked well tonight.
Yeah,
it's real good.
That's not why they lost. They lost because dudes didn't have good at bats that mattered the most in the lineup. That's why they lost. Tell it like it is. That's why they're not losing, because John's not putting runners in motion. They're losing because their best players aren't getting it done. And then he's got to hit Varsho in the three hole and Kirk in the cleanup spot.
Yeah, he doesn't have to.
Basically does, because Tony ain't doing anything, and Springer looks like Springer of last year. Like, yeah, he sort of kind of does. I mean, that's just reality of life. And, you know, Vladdy, quite frankly, ain't top 50 in anything that matters. Hmm. When you're not that, this is what your record looks like. You look like, what did Chipper Jones say today about the Braves? A mediocre baseball team. That's sort of what the Blue Jays are right now. It's up to the main players on this team to start being better. If they're not going to get better, it's going to continue to look exactly the way it's looking.
416-870-0590, *590, 888-666-0590, 590-590 is the text line. The Toronto Blue Jays standing around waiting for something to happen tonight. Nothing happened. This is normally the case with this team.
There you go.
Good outing for Bowden Francis.
Absolutely.
Yeah, which is a positive. We talked about that. I mean, the starting pitching, the starting pitching about a week ago, 10 days ago, looked a little threadbare. That seems to have righted itself. Good enough to win. All you need is a couple of hits here, and Bowden Francis is a winner. Yep. But, and it's hard to argue with you about Anthony Santander. I mean, at this point in time, I mean, I'm hoping he's hurt. You know what I mean? I don't want anybody to be hurt. But sweet Jesus, I hope this isn't what we're going to get for the next however many years.
If he's playing, he's telling you he's not hurt. Hey, let's get back to Bowden, because that's a positive, right? You know, I think because he threw the fastballs 51 times, that allowed him not to have to throw curveballs. Curveball's been getting hammered. 467 slugging over, or OPS over 1,100. When his fastball's good, all of his other pitches, you don't have to throw as much.
Dave in North Vancouver, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Gentlemen, I guess I'll take some inspiration from our good friend, Mr. Atkins, who once described or characterized, I suppose, the task of adding power to a power deficient lineup as low hanging fruit. To gripe about the offense tonight might be low hanging fruit. I'm sure other callers will call in and talk about that.
Well, it's low hanging something.
Hey, nice one. It's low hanging something. I guess what I wanted to call in, because I was out kayaking this evening listening to the game, so I'm in a zen positive of space. I wanted to make a positive comment, if I could.
Sure.
Y-Rod.
Yes.
I mean, over the last few weeks, he has got to be one of the best relievers in baseball. Not only that, but when I watch him, and obviously I was on the radio tonight, but he just seems to have this sort of controlled confidence up there where he's towing the line between emotion, but it's under control. And it's just to see him have a great outing tonight. Again, it seems like he's just heading in a real positive direction. And he's one of the most exciting things happening with this team right now. And if we're looking for positive, that's one of them. So I'd love to hear your comments about him and where he's headed, because it just strikes me that he's got to be one of the best relievers in baseball the last few weeks, and that's exciting. Love the show, guys. Have a good night.
Thanks, Dave. Take care. Unlike the Jays, Dave was above water. Get it? Because 500, you're below water.
Good one.
Dave was.
Yeah, there you go.
He has been awfully good.
Yeah, look, I think you give everybody around him credit, including himself. He needed to make a mechanical change. He needed to get in a better mind routine. And I think Dave said it exactly right. He just looks under control out there. And, you know, I'm not saying forced, but they suggested you got a good slider. Throw it more, you know, right? It make your fastball better. All of a sudden now, because of that, because you're under control mentally, because you've made a hand adjustment, right? You've lowered it to your belt instead of a little higher. That creates a little bit of momentum. It just sort of gets it to the belt, gets it to the wings, right? When the hands are separated, it gets the wings out front, just creates a little bit more momentum towards where you want the ball to end up, which is a giant deal. He's oozing confidence. When you're oozing confidence, you got good stuff. I mean, there's been a bunch of catchers that we've been around, Jeff, that have told us over and over and over again how good this dude's stuff is. Well, they must have known what they were talking about. Because, you know, you make some mental changes, you make some mechanical changes, you start throwing a pitch more than the other ones. This is sort of what it looks like now, right? I mean, even if Jimmy's out for a little while, I think you feel a little bit confident. You know, if you have the lead in the eighth inning, no matter who he's got to face, that a dude like him can come in and get the three outs that are needed. So, yeah, absolutely. Dave, I think, is spot on when it comes to when you're searching for positives. You know, I just think sometimes some people would like to see some positives on the offensive side, not always on the pitching side. And I'm in that camp.
I think that's pretty fair. If only, though, there'd been somebody who'd been saying all along that Yariel Rodriguez was a reliever and not a starter. If only we could find somebody who thought that. If only we could find somebody who looked at Yariel Rodriguez and said, you know, the last time this guy had any success, it was as a closer in Japan. Maybe we ought to just stick him in the bullpen instead of trying to turn him into a starter.
Not to give that guy so much credit because I know he's searching for it. You know, the only reason I think they were trying to make him a starter because they got absolutely nobody else.
Well, go and get somebody else.
Well, they don't, and they
have. Go and find somebody else.
Well, again, like
other teams do.
Yeah, well,
go and find somebody else.
When's the last time we've seen that from the Jays front office?
Eric Lauer's pitching. Go and find Eric Lauer. Go and find another Eric Lauer. There are starting pitchers out there.
Well, give him credit. He's made adjustments. He's taken the ball in some higher leverage situations. He seemed to be thriving in it. You know, even that little routine where he's throwing earlier before he makes an outing. I mean, it's a little routine adjustment. That's a mental thing that prepares him.
I got no problem watching him come into the game.
Well, not anymore.
Late in leverage.
No, not anymore.
I have no problem with defenders on their toes.
They make plays behind him because he's attacking the zone. You know, he's not non-competitive, which is a big deal. So, you know, give the pitching coach credit. Give the pitcher credit. Give the khakis credit. Give everybody credit.
No, they should have done this last year. Adam in Toronto, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hello.
Hello.
So good. So, two quickies. Just throw it out. Why is anybody pitching to Aaron Judge? And second, the trade that the Jays should make is send Santander to Colorado and pay you half of his salary and get Jake Bird to come here as a relief pitcher. If you can be on the Colorado Rockies and have an ERA of 1.67, after 22 games, you're worth whatever you pay, and he's under control for 3 years.
Adam, why do you hate Anthony Santander so much? You have to hate a guy to send him to Colorado.
Well, yeah,
it's like going into a witness protection program in Major League Baseball.
Well, it's also the team that you know wants to take him because actually, I think he would actually hit well there because it's easy to hit there. But also, that's a team that wants. The owner has said, we're going to have a lockout because we want a salary cap. Like, he isn't even hiding the fact that that's his whole plan.
Why would he want a guy making as much money as Anthony Santander then?
Well, that's because we're paying half the salary for him.
That's probably still too much for the... Here's the bottom line. Jake Bird still means that Alejandro Kirk's my cleanup hitter tonight if I get Jake Bird. You know, let's not lose sight of what the problem with this team is. Yeah, it would be great to get another leverage arm in here. And, you know, and Eric Swanson's going to be back this weekend, we're led to believe. It'd be great to get another leverage arm in here. You need another starting pitcher, for sure. But pitching is not your problem right now.
No, but like then you swap him for somebody who is a hitter. Because we can't trade Santander for as a hitter. You've got to have something. And now you have an extra relief pitcher, and I'm sure there's a couple of teams in the National League that need a good relief pitcher.
Yeah, I appreciate the call. It's an interesting thought, but I need a hitter, and yeah. It's that simple.
Let's be honest too. A front office ain't going to do this early, right? It's egg on your
well,
face.
Well, no,
if you're doing
and,
it. You're telling everybody you were wrong. It's not happening.
Yeah, it's not.
It's just not. I mean,
that's like raising the white flag and saying we made a mistake.
It's a really good idea. I mean, it's But
well, it's an okay idea.
It ain't never happening. I mean, the play, you know, they switch the players, and I mean, he's only got 200 at bats. Like,
I mean, you know,
comes out tomorrow, he gets three hits, he has two homers. Nobody would care about the first 200 at bats, will he?
But you know, you're right too. For that to happen, it would mean this front office would admit that they've made a mistake.
And well, you know, they ain't doing that, yeah.
Well, no, as far as I can tell, they haven't made a mistake in 10 years. It just hasn't worked out. Sam in Hamilton, you're on Blue Jays Talk. Oh, sorry, Guy in Maple. I'm sorry, Guy. How are you, man?
Hey, I've been called worse, believe me. Gentlemen, I mean, you know, it's nice to hear all these fans calling in saying, let's get this reliever. We're talking, you know, we're talking about a sixth-inning reliever and how good he's doing. The bottom line is, at what point does Shapiro look at this team, or even Ed Rogers? I mean, look how bad they are. This has been 2 years and a third of no-hitting, lethargic baseball. Tonight was one of the worst games I've ever seen. It was so bad tonight. And, you know, at what point, like, how do you not see this? Like, how does Shapiro not do anything? Like, I know he's buddy-buddy with Atkins, but, I mean, let's just look at this offseason, just for an example. Just this offseason, you blew $13 million on a seventh outfielder that you don't need. You blew $20 million on a second baseman when, in fact, that position was filled by Spencer Horowitz last year, who had a very good first full season and is making no salary. So you didn't have to dump $20 million for a little bit of extra defense. Okay, that's $33 million. You throw another $15 million at Scherzer, who nobody wanted to touch because of his injuries. That contract should have been based on incentives. Should have been $15 million and pitch three innings or three games, however much he's gonna pitch. That's $48 million, Ed Rogers, your money. Why don't you go spend that money and go get all the scouts from Tampa Bay who hit on everything, and the $48 million will last you a lifetime of scouts, because this team has no scouts. We have the fifth worst farm system in baseball, okay, and we're the only team with a top 10 payroll that's either not been to a World Series in the last 7 years or won a World Series. And it's I feel bad for the fans. I'm a huge Jays fan. I'm just sick of this. Like, it's terrible. Shapiro needs to be accountable, and he needs to get rid of Atkins right away. I'll hang up and listen, please.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm sure you speak for the majority of Jays fans. Here's one of the things, though, and you can tell by listening to some of the discourse around this team in some quarters. One of the beauties of analytics is you can make stuff that isn't working out seem logical.
Yep.
You can throw numbers out there and say, but look at this. And everybody goes, oh, well, those numbers are pretty good. You know, they're hitting the ball hard. It's got to turn around. Okay. Like, seriously, that's one of the issues. That's one of the issues with analytics. It's one of the issues with numbers, but especially with analytics. You can pull any of this stuff out to justify any of your moves or any of your arguments. I mean, you really can. The one thing they don't want you to do is see what's happening on the field. And it's hard to argue with you. Look, I went into this year, Kevin, I think you felt the same way. Yep. I thought this lineup was the best, had the potential, I'm going to say had the potential, yep, to be the best offensive lineup they had since Teoscar and Lourdes were having too much fun. You know, and they needed to be sent out of town so we could enjoy the virtues of run prevention. Yeah. So I thought this had the makings of that lineup. Now, I didn't realize Anthony Santander was going to be as bad as he's been so far this year.
And I'm
not giving up on Anthony. I'm gonna be the last guy in this city because I'm gonna defend Anthony Santander.
I'm
still not ready to give up on him. But my God, you know, Guy's right. They're spending a lot of money for a team that's got no depth in the minor league system, can't keep its pitchers healthy in the minor league system. Yeah, it's ask yourself what you had in 2015 and what you have now. Try to convince me that other than a big payroll, you're better off. You've had Vladdy and Bo, two guys, two cornerstone players.
Sure.
I think. Should have been.
Yeah. Needed help, though.
Needed help. Yeah. Is Vladdy become a better player as years have gone on?
I don't think so.
And again, and I still understand why he's got the contract. I'm not going to get into the whole contract thing. I understand that. And here's the thing. I'm okay with a lot of the things that have been done. But I don't understand the amount of faith this front office has put in itself. I really think that they believe this is a playoff worthy team. I really do.
There's no question.
I think they've got computers that have farted out stuff that, you know, tell them that this is a playoff team.
Well, they're so far in now, Jeff, they don't have a choice. They don't have a choice but to believe that.
Yeah. I mean, in a way, you're right. You can't come out and say it's not a playoff team. No. But it's just the lineup's just not good enough.
It's not.
It's just not. Again, God love these guys, but let's be clear. Ernie Clement, Michael Stefanik, and I'm not just slagging these guys.
No.
But they're not everyday players. Ernie Clement's not an everyday player on a playoff team. He's got a roster spot in a playoff team. Damn right he does.
Sure.
Miles Straw, he has a roster spot in a playoff team, I think. Nathan Lucas looks to me, I'd have him in my team, but I wouldn't want to play him every day. That's not their fault. But you know, at some point you've got to take a realistic look at things. And whatever you're being told by the numbers that you have isn't being reflected by results. That's all I got. And you know what Guy said is right.
I think reality is your roster is what your roster is, but you got to figure out how to fix your best players. Until they figure out how to get their best players headed in the right direction and consistently staying there. I mean, again, you know, you're exactly right about the names you mentioned and you know, how much they're playing and how probably much they shouldn't be playing. And I mentioned who's hitting third and who's hitting cleanup and, you know, where George Springer's at. But again, I mean, we'll get back to this. Why? And I've said this to you how many times? I just don't understand why the slumps last so long. I mean, it's the big leagues. They've never had more numbers, Jeff. Never.
Tim in Alberta has an answer to that question.
Okay. I like to hear
on the text line.
Yeah.
Tim on the text line. I figured out Barker's conundrum of why the hitting slumps last so long.
Okay.
The slump is the norm. Getting briefly hot is the outlier.
Ha! Well, I mean, I hope he's wrong, but
I mean, our listeners do have a sense of humor.
They do. They're on point tonight. I just, again, you know, it just is amazing. I mean, I'm sure Tony struggled before. He struggled like this. Did he struggle like this with the Orioles last year? Did it look like this for 200 at bats?
Yeah.
I mean, you look at it. Jeff, you look at the at-bats, like the four-pitch K that he had. He took two pitches down the middle. And in his last at-bat, he swung at the 0-0 curveball, wasn't even close.
And, you know, with the other night, everybody was swooning about the 11-pitch at-bat where he had two cookies that he couldn't hit.
Well, he had more cookies than that.
Okay, but well, I get two that point. I remember. But everybody's going, oh, my God, and it's 11-pitch at-bat. Again, as Josh Donaldson would say, what good is a freaking 11-pitch at-bat if the best pitch was the first one and you fouled it off?
Yeah.
Yeah? Anyhow, 416-870-0590. I got you fired up a bit tonight. That's good. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. We're going to take a break, come back, look at the out-of-town scoreboard, maybe hear from the skipper, John Schneider, although I don't know what the hell he can say about this. But we'll find out. It's Blue Jays Talk with Blair and Barker on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
It's been a tough road trip, you know what I mean? And I think that you look back at home and it was the opposite. You know, it comes and it goes. Hasn't gone our way, you know, the last four or five games. That's obvious, but you got to keep getting traffic and you got to trust the guys to get the hits. You know, when you play every day, you know, you get pissed off kind of in the moment, but then, you know, the next day is the next day. You know, that's what we hope. I think the guys are really good at that. It's weird at baseball. It comes and it goes. You know, I can't say that enough, and I know that it sounds bad, but that's kind of how it is when you play every single day and you're facing good pitching every single day. So I just want the guys to keep going about it the right way, and you get guys on, sooner or later you're going to get them in.
That is John Schneider, the manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, and I hope he's right about that.
Yeah. I'm praying for him.
At this point, I am too, and I'm certainly not a religious person. But you know what I did find? You know what I
candles.
Did find here, Kevin?
Candles.
I found some candles here.
How many you got? Can I borrow some?
I've got about 30 candles here. I mean, I think those are from the
last 2 years.
I don't know what year that's from. That might be from 2012. It could be the R.A. Dickey candle.
Yeah,
it could very well be. Time now to take a look around the American League East. We're going to put on our hazmat suit and look around the American League East. Thanks to our friends at Bet365, you can download the Bet365 app for today's baseball odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 19+, play responsibly, Ontario only. Thank God we're in the AL East, folks.
Why, Jeff?
There's a whole bunch of puke in the AL East right now. That really is the only way to describe it. I mean, there really is. Let's go down the scoreboard, shall we? The Boston Red Sox, who some people thought would win the division, quote, easily, losing 5-1 to the Milwaukee Brewers. The Tampa Bay Rays, they're in second place, but they lost 4-2 to the Minnesota Twins. The Baltimore Orioles, 7-4 losers to the St. Louis Cardinals. And thank God for the Yankees, they're leading the Angels 2-0. So as we speak, the American League, as I said, it's just like that. I mean, it's a pile. The Yankees are 33-20, Tampa Bay 27-27, Barker's Blue Jays are 26-28,
nope.
Barker's Red Sox are 27-30, and Barker's Orioles are 19-35. It's not a good division.
Yeah, it's a rocky road right now, but.
Rocky's road. It's pretty much like a whole division made up of Colorado Rockies. That's actually a good way to put it. Huh. Maybe I'm exaggerating
a little.
Sam and Hamilton, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey guys. First of all, you know, it is extremely frustrating watching this offense. I mean, even if they do win, they still only manage. I mean, you look at yesterday's game. The winning run came in a sack fly in the fourth inning. I mean, it's just this offense. And the problem I have with this team in the last couple of years is Ross Atkins, who came over from Cleveland, is supposed to be this great scout. The problem is there's nothing coming up. I mean, so we have to live with guys like Michael Stefanik, who's not a major leaguer. You know, Nathan Lukes, who God bless him, but he shouldn't be near this team starting every day as much as he has. You know, Ernie Clement. The problem is they just believe in the wrong guys, and they have nothing coming up. I mean, you talk about the pitching, and we always talk about, you know, Trey Savage and Arjun Namala, but those guys are so far away. I'm talking about the immediate bats. Like, every time I put on Twitter and I see a Boston Red Sox prospect going ballistic, or I see that Kansas City prospect going ballistic, and the MLB's tweeting about it. Well, where's our prospect that's so close to the big leagues that can break through, that's going ballistic in the minors?
Yeah, listen, you know, I've said I'm not completely a believer in minor league rankings and all that. I think they're subjective. But when everybody on the planet thinks you're one of the worst minor league systems, you know, there's subjective and then there's fact. And, I mean, what can I say? Every year, doesn't it seem like their best prospect every year is it single A or double A? Not even double A, single A. That's just not good enough. You know, spare me this whole thing about, the Jays haven't been in a position where they've had the first pick overall because they've always been competitive, yada, yada, et cetera, et cetera. Listen, that would work if other teams weren't finding guys in the late first rounds or in the second rounds or in the third rounds that are able to contribute. The Jays just haven't, I mean, they haven't done a good job scouting. They haven't done a good job in the international market either, for the most part. You know, Yariel Rodriguez was an international free agent. They spent more money for him than anyone else was willing to spend. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Nope.
But, you know, that's not like you've unearthed some diamond in the rough in Latin America. So, you know, Buck talked about it again in the telecast tonight. Alan Roden, Davis Schneider, those are the guys you're looking at if you had to bring up. They're not going to impact your team. They're just not. Aurelvis Martinez, I don't know what is he? I don't know if they know what he is.
No.
You know, think of where this team was a couple of years ago. And you know, even a couple of years ago when the minor league system wasn't that great. At least you had the odd Gabriel Moreno floating around or somebody like that. Mm-hmm. It's just not... there's just not the depth you need for sustainable success.
It's almost like something's got to give. Like they got to do something big to sort of shake it up a little.
Right. Yeah, I think we're at that stage. I think we were at that stage last off season. You know, we're at that stage halfway through last year as well. You know, I think. I mean, look, I like Bo Bichette as much as anybody. I like him probably more than a lot of people do. But you know what? You had to do something in the offseason to bring in another thumper, and not just signing Anthony Santander. You had to do more than that. We said you had to do more than that. And I understand if you move Bo, you're sacrificing offense as well. I get all that. But... you know, I keep hearing about how this front office, how they want to be creative, how this organization needs to be creative. You know, and I say, I mean, if I have a $250 million payroll, I shouldn't need to be creative. Tampa Bay needs to be creative. Minnesota needs to be creative. I don't know why you need to be creative with a payroll this size. But, you know, my point is that this team has the same issue it had last year, the same issue it had at the start of last year, the same issue it had in the offseason, the same issue it had at the start of this year. The lineup's just not deep enough, and there's just not enough good players here.
Yeah, I don't think you can argue.
Yeah. And that's, you know, it's not on the manager.
Not for me.
It's absolutely not on the manager. Anyhow, the Blue Jays, 2-0 losers to the Texas Rangers. The good news is they get to do it again tomorrow night. As this three-game series in Texas continues, 8:05 first pitch on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and Sportsnet. It'll be, we believe, Eric Lauer on the mound for the Blue Jays and Tyler Mahle for the Texas Rangers. So, thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Markham and Richmond Hill. Crown is proud to be Canadian-owned and operated since 1986. So protect your vehicle from rust today at your local Crown Rust Control Center, or you can visit crown.com. Crown, Canada's number one rust protection.